Amen. So we're going to, of course, have a time of fellowship after church today. So I will preach long enough for them to get the pizza. I will try not to go too much longer. Why don't you take your Bibles with me and let's turn to two passages of Scripture. Matthew chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. Matthew chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. You got it? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and something shall be impossible to you. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. It says nothing. Everybody say nothing. Come on, shout nothing. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Go to the 21st verse. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Let's turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 8 through 12. Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 8 through 12. Praise God. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that what? Okay, why are we supposed to keep the commandments of the Lord? That we might be strong. Amen. There's condemnation that comes when you break the laws of God. Amen. And with condemnation comes spiritual weakness. So he said, keep the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong, go in to possess the land whither you go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land. You notice what he said there, that you shall prolong your days in the land. It's possible to go into the land and the devil steal it from you because of disobedience, because of unbelief. So that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them and their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land where you go in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from where you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waters it with thy foot, but as the garden of herbs. But the land where you go to possess it is a land of hills and of valleys, and drinks the waters of the rains of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for, and the eyes of the Lord are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. With the help of the Lord, I want to talk to you for a little while today about conquering the impossible through faith. Amen. Conquering the impossible through faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being able to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for your touch. Thank you for your spirit, Lord. Let your anointing be upon these lips of clay, Lord. And we'll be sure to give you the glory and the praise and the honor that's due unto your name. And everybody say that name. Jesus, you can be seated. There's a picture that I have up there. It's called Hannibal crossing the Alps, and those pictures I loaded up there, Stephen. Would you go ahead and put that up there? The Bible talks about a lot about mountains, and it talks about hills, and it talks about valleys, and a lot of things can be a little bit difficult in life. And I don't know if you've ever done any mountain climbing, but mountains can be very hard to climb, can they not? It seems like that it's always an impossibility. Stephen, did you see that picture there? I put it in the presentation. It says Hannibal. There, you got it there. Okay, there's going to be one more in a few minutes, so keep your eye out for that. This picture here is of a guy named Hannibal that crossed. Brother Rick, do you happen to know where Hannibal was? I forget off the top of my head. I think it was India that way, and they've taken the elephants, and they've crossed the Swiss Alps. The religious imagination has known that mountains can be difficult for a very long time, and that's why mountains have come to symbolize the hardships and the difficulties of life, whether it's the hymn writer Emmy Abbey who penned the song Life is Like a Mountain Railroad, or Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell sang, ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no mountain high enough. Mountains have always represented problems to be solved, obstacles to be overcome, crosses to be carried, burdens to be borne, troubles to be triumphed over, and difficulties to deal with. Mountains symbolize problems, do they not? Sometimes we look at our troubles and we say, oh, we've got a mountain that is just too hard to surpass. We've got a mountain that's too hard to climb. Hardships are mountains. Family crises are mountains. If you've never been in a family crisis, family crises are not fun when there's sickness in the family, when there's death in the family. It's a very difficult time. Sickness can be a mountain. Death can be a mountain in our life. It just seems like that there are some things that face us and we don't feel the ability to overcome. We don't feel the ability to climb these mountains. Scott Peck, in a book called The Road Less Traveled, says life's a problem. Amen? Isn't that true? How many of you had a problem this week? Amen. I hear Sister Fagel laughing. She had some problems this week. She's just kind of giggling there. I had some difficulties this week. It seems like that if it's not one thing, it's another thing. It seems like sometimes the problems attack us in every direction. It seems like very rarely. And now, on occasions, I got a calm week and everything's going good and everything's wonderful. But most of the times, my life is not full of just easy times. It seems like that my life from years back has been just one obstacle after another obstacle, one mountain to climb, one problem to deal with, one difficulty to overcome. It seems like the devil will throw things in your life, throw things your way, specifically designed to discourage you. The truth of the matter is, our life is filled with mountains, is it not? Our life has got plenty of difficulties. Our life has got plenty of troubles. How is this going to work? How is that going to work? What is going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? We don't always see the answers. There is no crystal ball to life. Sometimes I've been known, I have gotten a little aggravated with God and said, you could have told me this was going to happen, Lord. Anybody ever felt like that? Amen. Amen. And I had some investments before the stock market fell. And when the stock market fell, I was like, how come you didn't tell me to sell that stuff, Lord? Of course, now it's back to almost where it was. So it's really not that big a deal. But when you're going through crisis, you're like, you know, what's going to happen? What's the end going to be? What's the result going to happen? You don't always see the end. You always don't see what's going to happen. Some people turn to the monthly prognosticators, as the Bible calls them, or as the horoscopes, as we call them today, trying to find their desperately sought answers. But those things are notoriously inaccurate, and really they're not for the children of God, are they? Amen. The Bible talks about them. Go ahead and go to your monthly prognosticators. Go to your future teller. Go to your soothsayer. They're not going to deliver you from my hand. Those people don't have the answers. Amen. Those things are so inaccurate. And it's in a recent school science fair project I read about that they were slightly more accurate in a control group when the names and the signs were reversed. Everybody goes, talks about, I forget all of them but one, Taurus the bull. So if there is something like that, it all belongs under that sign, right? Amen, because that's what it is. It's not science. It's not even godly. It's for the child of God to avoid. You can get so concerned about answers and so worried about the future that you can let the present waves that are rolling in your life deplete your faith. And like Peter, you can begin to sink when he could have been successfully the first man in history to make a casual stroll on the sea in the midst of the storm. We all know that, don't we? We know that story. They were out in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, and they see Jesus out there walking on the water, and they say, it's a ghost! And Jesus looks at him and says, no, it's just me. And he said, if it's you, Lord, just bid me to come. So he bids him to come, and he begins to walk on the water. And what happens? The Bible talks about when Peter got his eyes on the waves. Isn't that what happens to us sometimes? We get our eyes, we feel faith, we feel like God has spoken to us, we feel like the Lord has given us direction, we feel like God has really, really given us a direction. And then when we begin to walk that direction, when Jesus says, come on this way, it seems like problems begin to rise. The seas begin to swell. It seems like the mountains begin to rise, but they become impossible to overcome. Yet Jesus says, come on anyway. Amen? Jesus says, come on anyway. Praise the Lord. Whether you love him or hate him or are neutral, we used to have a president known as the presidential, excuse me, I'm tongue-tied today, so if you'll excuse me. The presidential elections of 2000 were so close and caused so much division that Florida decided the presidential elections. Remember that? They had the hanging chads and all that crazy stuff. It's said during those days that G.W. Bush went to his ranch in Texas, shut off the radio, shut off the TV, and turned to the Word of God and waited for the outcome. What would have happened if Peter had just ignored the waves? Amen? And Jesus reminds us in our scripture today that if you have faith just the size of a mustard seed, that you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will have to obey you. Amen. I was telling somebody this last week, and this may seem a little trivial little thing to you, but we've got a nice pool in our backyard, and I've got all the trees, actually. I got one tree on my property, but we used to have these trees that put what they call these sugar gum balls, and they were little balls with spikes, and you would love them if you stepped on them because they really, really hurt your feet. So I got all of them off of my property, and I looked, and there's the two houses next to us. One had four of those trees all leaning towards my property, and one has another two of them next to our house. I think it was 2 years ago when the Collins missionaries to Portugal were here. They were in a storm. We were in a storm, and the wind blew so hard it was like bullets hitting the house. And when I went out to see what was going on, it was all them sugar gum balls that blew off of those trees and invaded my property. Boy, did I have a hard time picking them up in the springtime. Those are the things that get in the grass, and you got to take them out one by one. I ended up buying a shop vacuum so I could just vacuum my lawn because of my back and my knee and everything else. And I was like, Lord, I said, could you see fit just to take those trees down? I've prayed that many, many, many times. And about 2 weeks ago, we looked out the window. We kept hearing some noises, some hammering, and some sounded like somebody destroying something. And the house in the back of us that had the most obnoxious of those trees was gone. They ripped the house down. They were taking the foundation about half out, and then they built on it. And then Friday, all of a sudden, we see a tree company come. And guess what happened to those four obnoxious trees? They are no more. And my wife comes up to me all excited. She says, come here, come here, come here. Look out here. And the people with the trees next door to me were talking to the people about taking those trees down. You say, well, what has that got to do with anything? Sometimes it could just show you the goodness of the Lord in your life. Amen. That sometimes the Lord will just answer just the littlest prayer. And sometimes we will have just concerns, and sometimes it just shows you that the Lord cares for where you are. Amen. I don't have to deal with those trees now. One of my concerns was one of them was putting so far over. Every time we got one of those hurricane storm winds, I was saying, okay, there goes my pool and there goes my pool house, because it's going to destroy everything when it falls down. About 10 years ago, I had a tree like that on my property. I just had a feeling I need to cut that thing down. And I cut it down. The trunk was about as big around as this pulpit here, and the whole center of it was hollow. So if I had not cut that thing down, it would have come down, and actually that one would have fell on my other neighbor's house and caused me all kinds of problems. Amen? We need to understand something, though. Faith may not always change the outer circumstance of life, but it always changes our outlook. Some mountains are made to be conquered, and some the Lord will take out in his own time, just like these silly little trees. And they will move from here to there. And it's not a moving of your problem out of the way, but rather a moving of your problem into from the unconquerable to the conquerable. Amen. I think that's what the Lord wants to show us sometimes in life, is that if we will trust in Him and we will walk with Him, we may look at some things and we can look at them and say, I don't understand how it's going to change. Yet I'm going to simply believe the Word of God. Amen. When I prayed over those trees, I was like, you know, Lord, I don't, because I know what they quoted me. They quoted me $10,000 to take down three trees, and he had four. And I got it for $3,000 because I live next to a wall, and they were able to get a crane over. They just cut the trees, took them over to the Home Depot parking lot, chopped them up there. But this guy had a, they couldn't even get a truck back there. But boy, when they demolished that house, they could get everything back there. And the Lord can take those things and bring them to pass. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith makes all the difference when you're facing a mountain. Amen? And I'm going to tell you that sometimes God is merciful to us too. Because we will pray, and sometimes we will feel, how many of you ever felt like God gave you an answer and that you heard from the Lord and God said this is going to come to pass, and maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's a year, maybe it's 2 years, and you're like, I have not seen my promise. Maybe this is the way the devil comes to you. You didn't hear from God. You heard from your own hope. Amen? Isn't that what happens to us? And he likes to tell you, you didn't hear from God. He's been doing that since the beginning. Isn't that what happened in Genesis when he went to the woman? No, God didn't say that. This is really what he said, and this is the reason why he said it. You've got to remember something. The devil's a liar. He's the father of all lies. He has always been a liar, and he will always be a liar. Amen. He will not encourage you. He will discourage you. There's one thing I found out about God. God never discourages me. Amen? Who is it that says you're too tired to pray? Who is it that says it's never going to work out? Who is it that says you just might as well give up? It's not God. Because he said with men things are impossible. With God nothing's impossible. And not only that, if you just have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible to you. And that grain of a mustard seed, I wish I had the picture here. I've put those pictures up in years past. A mustard seed is a little bitty, little tiny thing. Yet it grows into a great tree. The Lord can just start with a little bit of faith inside of you. If you will let him water that faith. You see, here's something I want you to also kind of grasp a little bit. A seed can be in there, but if the seed is not nourished properly, the seed is not going to grow. I talked a little bit just for a moment last week. I preached a message on faith, and I don't think I preached it for years and years, but it talks about how there are two places in the world where the seed can be, it's got all the ingredients, but the climate is wrong. And one of them is in the Antarctic. You have all the water and all the sunshine that you need, yet a tree is not going to grow in the Antarctic because it's so cold there. And the other one is in the Sahara Desert. You have all the sunshine, all the warmth you got there, but there it won't grow because there is no water. So there's got to be that proper balance of climate. And we are climate creators is what happens. And you can create a climate in your own life. Amen? This is why that some people receive promises by faith and some people receive nothing by faith, because they don't nurture the climate for the seed to grow. If you want to receive your promise, nurture the seed. Let there be some light of the Word of God. Let there be some rain of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Let there be the sunshine of God's Word, the light of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. If you will do those things, the seed has to grow. Just like we've talked about some things concerning sowing the Word of God. If we sow the Word of God, the Bible tells us that there shall be a harvest. Amen. Not that there might be a harvest. Not that there could be a harvest. But if we will sow the seed, there shall be a harvest. The more seed that we can sow, the bigger the harvest is going to be. This is why I try to encourage everybody to take a CD and say, well, I can only give out one or two. That's fine. Give out one or two. Do something. Amen. Find a place. Find somebody. Find something. Leave them on a bus seat. Put them in a subway. I don't care what you do with them, because what we're doing is we're going like Johnny Appleseed. Everybody heard Johnny Appleseed? He was a man in the early part of the country, early years of the country, that sowed apple seeds and went around. That's all he did. He sowed apple seeds. And some places have great apple orchards now because of this man called Johnny Appleseed that sowed all these seeds. If we will sow the Word of God, God will bless us. Amen. If you will bring some climate, if you will help the climate to be proper in your life for the seed to grow, you will receive the promise of God. Amen. You won't receive it without a proper climate. But if you will have, if you will work on being that climate creator for your own life, for this church also. Amen. I've talked about this many times and probably not enough, but I've said in the past, if you have a complaint about this church and you don't do anything but complain, you don't have any right to complain. Amen. If you are not a part of the solution, you are part of the problem. Amen. So you can't complain about something that you refuse to do anything about. But if you will take your part and do your part, I'm telling you, great things can come to pass. Amen. It's more than dependent upon the voice of a preacher. It's more than dependent upon the ability of a preacher to organize. It depends on the people of the Word of the Lord. Some of you folks missed a great Bible lesson today. Brother Etienne taught a great Bible lesson, and he talked about the children in the home and how we're to forgive our children. But he also said something that I've pointed out before, too. You can do all the right things, and still sometimes the children won't listen. Amen. And you will have problems in your home because of the simple fact that your son or your daughter simply did not listen. Now you take, well, can kids cause a big problem? Sure. Ask the parents of a drug addict. Their child went to heroin, stole from them, stole their money, stole their jewelry, stole their household goods to pay for it. There's a lot of problems that children can cause. Amen. And it's really not much different in the house of the Lord, because we're all children of the Lord. If we will listen to the Holy Ghost, amen? If we will listen to the Holy Ghost, the Lord can bring some great and mighty things to pass. Amen. It's not always that insurmountability of the problem or the situation that matters, but the voice of faith that's speaking inside telling you that the mountains may be there, but that mountain's going to go. Amen? Now, here we go to Hannibal. This is one of the great stories of history, Hannibal crossing the Alps. Hannibal had an army where he was going to invade Italy with. Okay, so I got it wrong. He wasn't from India. Praise the Lord. I forget my geography sometimes. An army that had never been exposed to the kind of cold weather they were seeing. An army without any maps. That nobody had crossed the Alps before. And the army was using these things, war elephants. You ever seen an elephant in an ice storm? That doesn't make any sense. And when they realized that they were going to have to do, or what they were going to have to do, they were ready to turn around and go home. Well, don't you think that it looked like when they got to those Alps and they looked at these big war elephants and they looked at that ice and they looked at that snow, don't you think they said, I think I'm going to go home? But according to some, Hannibal rallied his troops and the armies by standing before them, pointing to the Alps and saying, forward march, we don't see any Alps. We don't see any mountains. We don't see any difficulties. And with those words, the army of Hannibal went forth and in 16 days did something that nobody in history had ever done before his time. They crossed the Alps. Amen. They had a lot of baggage with them. They had those huge war elephants. They were not, it's like trying to take a truck over the Alps, trying to take Brother Etienne's 18-wheeler over the Alps, boy. And many of us are afraid to face our mountains because we don't have the best of circumstance, because we have some kind of baggage of our own. But Hannibal said, I don't care how many elephants I have to take, because I'm going to do this. And history tells us that the baggage turned into a blessing. While most people did not survive the crossing, they became a protection to the troops. And as natives, never having seen such creatures before, they were afraid to attack them, afraid to come near. They had never seen, man, these great big elephants. What in the world are those things? What kind of monstrosities do they have? But there was a determination in Hannibal that said, there's a mountain in my path that I'm going to cross and I'm going to go over. You've got a mountain in your life and you can say, well, I don't know how I'm going to go, but you've got to get a hold of some kind of determination that says through faith, through the faith of the grain of mustard seed, through the touch of the word of God today, mountain, if you're not going to get out of my way, I'm going to go over you. Amen. God may not move your mountain, but there's nothing that says you can't go over that mountain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, in dealing with his own mountain, penned these immortal words that I've preached many times. We walk by faith and not by sight. When God speaks a promise into us, we don't sit there and say, well, you know, it sounds good, but I'm looking at my situation and my situation just does not look like it's possible for God to do what he said he would do. What do? You walk by faith anyhow. Now, we're being human beings. Last time I checked, I got the flu for a couple of days this week, so I still get sick. Sometimes my back hurts, my knee hurts. My back goes out sometimes. I even have had circumstances upset me. I know that's hard to believe. But sometimes things actually get me down. And I know none of you get down. You all, you don't even get sick. We all have those problems. Aren't you glad that God doesn't, he understands. I remember a couple of years ago, Brother Rick, or I think it was Brother Rick, wrote out a scripture he talks about where he remembered that we were just flesh. Don't you think that God remembers? And you may get discouraged. And I brought this out about Genesis 15 where the Lord came to Abraham. And Abraham said that, you know, what do you, you know, the Lord comes to him and says, be not afraid. And Abraham's like, hey, what do you got to do with me? You haven't even given me my promise yet. And the Lord was merciful to him. To me, Abraham spoke some things in Genesis 15 that would be like blasphemy. Yet the Lord said, the scripture records that when God spoke to Abraham, he believed the Lord, and that faith was counted to him for righteousness. You may have been discouraged. You may have had things get you down. But right now, God is speaking to you one more time, giving you that faith and saying, let the faith grow. Nurture the seed. Amen? Nurture the seed. We spend so much time, people spend so much time with worldly things. This is why that we have kind of been pushing prayer and fasting. And don't let me forget, the fasting list is in my office. Sister Emily, if you want to go get it, it's on my desk. And we can pass that around. And that's why we've been pushing Bible reading. That's why we've been pushing the CDs. You know, these CDs are just not only for people that are outside the church. If your problem is faith, you ought to get the CD of today and listen to it. Stick it in your car. Put it on your phone. Do something with it. And when you're discouraged, just sit there, listen to the words of faith, and let that feeling, because somebody's getting the feeling today that God is with them. And the Lord's going to bring some things to pass. You need to nurture the seed. One way that you can nurture the seed is get a hold of some of these messages. Keep them for yourself. When you get down, when you get discouraged, pop them in a CD player, like I said. Rip them, put them on your phone. I don't care what you do with them. But listen to it. Listen to the words of encouragement. Nurture the seed. Hallelujah. And I think it's been a big project to get going. And just, I also have made some inserts. And Brother Sabas had talked to me about some ideas from some inserts. So I sent them off to a printer. And they're a day late coming. So otherwise, we would have had inserts for all these CDs today. Next time, we'll have some inserts for them because they'll be at my house tomorrow via UPS. Go ahead and go to the next slide. I only have two today. But I want to tell you something. Faith is like mathematics. You know that? Anybody here good at math? Tayo is really good at math. What's a variable? Something that changes the outcome. Right? We got that little slide up here. It's a little calculator. It's just something that I tried to get across the point that you can have a variable. For example, it says, let me get my glasses on here. Hallelujah. It says 100 times 42 divided by 120 gives us a percentage, or 42 is 35% of 120. Now, if you notice, it says the whole, and it says part, and it says the percentage. If you change the part, if you take that variable and maybe make it 50, or maybe make it 30, what's going to happen to the result? The result is going to be different. This is the way that faith is like mathematics, is because you may look at a situation and the textbooks may say, this is what's going to happen. But when you put a variable in called faith, the output becomes different. Let me tell you some facts about problems. A problem is only a problem if there is no solution. Right? If there's no solution. If there's even a hint of a possibility of a solution, then no longer do you have the same problem that you had. What does faith do? Faith creates new variables. Faith creates new possibilities. Amen. If you've got God in your life, you're going to have problems. The Bible says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Scripture tells us the rain is going to fall on the just and the unjust. As a matter of fact, sometimes it seems like it falls on the just more than the unjust. Because if you got your cars broke down, you got money to fix it, it's not a big deal. You just fix it. But if your car breaks down, you don't have any money to fix it, you don't have a way to get to work, that's a problem. But if you've got God in your life, you're going to have problems. But with God in your life, He is always the variable. There are always other possibilities. There are always other outcomes. When Mary was informed by the angel that she would soon be with child, she had a natural reaction to the situation. How can this be possible? And the angel gave her the same answer that we found in our text scripture. If you read over in the book of the Gospels, it also says that the angel said to Mary, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For God is the author of possibility. Amen. He was the one when there was nothing there that spoke and the worlds came into existence and the stars were created and light was separated from darkness. Don't you think he can speak a variable into your life? Don't you think sometimes then God is just waiting for the right time? He's waiting for the right moment when something's going to be interjected by faith because you've hung on to God, because you've walked with the Lord, because you've nurtured the seed of faith in your life. The Lord comes to a certain point and he says, you know what? I'm going to inject a little variable here, because with man, nothing is possible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. So when you hold to the hand of the Lord, when you hold to God, you know, we sing that song that says, hold to God's unchanging hand. What happens? You're holding to the one that has all the possibilities in his hand. If you let go, you're letting go of the possibilities of what God can do. And why do you think you get so discouraged? Why do you think that the devil fights you so hard? Because he wants to separate you from hope. He wants to separate you from the variable. He wants to separate you from the source of power. This is why he fights you so hard, because he knows that there's really no problem, because God has got a lot of things in control we don't even realize. And if we will just walk with the Lord and keep on holding to God's unchanging hand. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me today? Is my wife here? Somebody go find my wife and tell her to come back up here. Praise the Lord. Israelites. There was no hope. Slavery. But God created a new possibility. And Moses went to Pharaoh and said, the Lord said, let my people go. And what did Pharaoh say? Ain't going to happen. What did the Lord do to Pharaoh? God said, did some arm twisting. You ever do that when you were a kid? All right, now, you know, you got to do this. You're going to say, uncle. I'm going to twist your arm. You say, uncle. Anybody ever do that? We used to do that. Maybe it's an American thing. We used to fuss with friends and, okay, say uncle. And sooner or later, if you twisted their arm hard enough, they would do what you wanted them to do. What do you think that God did to Pharaoh? The Lord said, okay, you better say God. Took his arm and twisted his arm until Pharaoh said, take your people and get out of here. Amen. God's got his ways. How come God waited 400 years? I don't know why God waited 400 years. But I do know when God got ready, Pharaoh had to yield. You can go ahead and come up. Pharaoh had to yield. Let me give you another example. Jesus could have died on the cross and never been resurrected. But God created a new possibility, did he not? It was not possible for somebody to die and be resurrected. Yet God created a possibility out of impossibility. There was nobody that believed that Jesus was going to be resurrected. His own disciples, they gave up. They said, it's not going to happen. But yet it happened. Faith can move mountains because faith changes the equation. Amen? It changes the equation of life, of death, of sickness, of health, of lack of job, of job. Faith changes the impossible to the possible. Faith makes the unconquerable mountain a conquerable mountain. It gives you the ability either to move the mountain, go through the mountain, or go over the mountain. But either way, that mountain is not going to be there when God is through. Amen. It might be moved over to the side. It might be destroyed, or it might be behind you. But either way, no longer is that mountain going to be in front of you if you will hold to the unchanging hand of the Lord. If you will just very simply hold to God's unchanging hand. If you will do what I said and just very, very simply let the seed be nurtured. Let the seed be watered. Let the Holy Ghost fall. Why do you think it's so important to come to pray? One of these days, by faith, we're going to have altar benches here. Why do we need altar benches? That's because it's a place where we can come, where we can let the waters of rain, where we can hold on to the unchanging hands of God, where we can let the rain of God begin to fall upon us, and we can nurture the seed.
Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Won't you
hold? world's past riches.